Blog Talk Radio.
Learn how to take your caring and giving farther with the Caring and Funding Podcast powered by CAP America. CAP America, America's leader in cross-border philanthropy, helps corporations, foundations, wealth advisors, and individuals who wish to give internationally and with enhanced due diligence in the United States. Through its industry-leading grants management program and philanthropic advisory services, CAP America helps donors amplify their impact and ensure their gifts are made in a safe and effective manner. This Caring and Funding podcast is dedicated to these donors and the charities they support. Our guests are leaders in their field who join us to share tips for success and stories that inspire. Our host is Ted Hart, the CEO of CAP America. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at capamerica.org, on iTunes, and now just say, Alexa, play CAF America on TuneIn. Now, welcome the host of CAP America's Caring and Funding Podcast, Ted Hart.
And welcome here to the Caring and Funding Podcast. CAP America's global partnerships enable carefully chosen teams around the world to bring together the very best of talent and strengths. In today's world, philanthropy often moves at the speed of the internet, even if the human condition has not yet learned to heal or grow or change or rebuild or a host of other things that philanthropy can and will address at that same lightning speed. CAP America's global partnerships enable us to bridge those great divides by bringing to the American donor the very best of philanthropic expertise and services on the ground in countries around the world. Through this podcast series, we introduce our listeners, our donors, to partners we collaborate with, partners who collaborate with us, in making it possible for that long arc of history, that long arc of philanthropic change, to bend a little faster, with much more assurance and with full regulatory compliance, risk management, and regulatory compliance you have come to rely on from CAF America. Today, on this special edition of the Caring and Funding Podcast, is my pleasure to introduce you to Jill Bates, Chief Executive Officer of CAF Southern Africa. CAF Southern Africa is a member of the CAF Global Alliance and our partner in South Africa. Established in 2000, CAFSA is a registered nonprofit and public benefit organization that is proudly South African. CAF Southern Africa believes that giving and other forms of social investment by companies, institutions, and individuals is a vital component to strengthen the effectiveness of civil society in supporting under-resourced communities. CAFSA, as they are often known, facilitates financial and associated philanthropic support to nonprofit organizations in the Southern Africa region, and is committed to advancing and adding value to these contributions by promoting innovation, fostering leadership, and encouraging cooperation. CAFSA encourages a vibrant philanthropic culture throughout South Africa, defining philanthropy as encompassing all forms of corporate, private, and individual giving, including volunteering. CAFSA believes that civil society organizations play critical roles in providing relief from all the ills associated with poverty and marginalization. Jill Bates assumed the role of CAF Southern Africa's Chief Executive Officer in January 2017. She has some 25 years of experience working in corporate and nonprofit space as a corporate social investment specialist. She has managed the trusts and foundations of a number of blue-chip entities listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. She has had extensive experience in the financial services sector, working always in the corporate social investment area. Her experience includes governance and compliance, broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Scorecard consulting, stability reporting, monitoring, evaluation, and reporting, research, policy formulation and implementation, strategy formulation and implementation, program and project management, and fundraising. In other words, she really knows her stuff. Jill is also a part-time facilitator at Johannesburg Business School and holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and social work, an honors degree in education social work, and a master's degree in public and development management. The first thing that you'll know about Jill Bates when you meet her is that she always greets you as a colleague. So today I have the pleasure of greeting Jill Bates, CEO of CAF Southern Africa, here to the Caring and Funding podcast as our special guest within this global partnership series. Hello, colleague.
Very good morning to you, Ted, my colleague, and to your listeners. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your program. It's such a great pleasure for me to be with you this morning.
Jill, there are wonderful cultural ties that have brought Americans and South Africans together over many years, and for decades, Americans and South African liberation movements have shared a common spirit yearning for freedom. The CAF America and CAF Southern Africa partnership builds upon the strengths of both our organizations while weaving in their unique cultures and strength of spirit. I wanted to first today start talking about a wonderful visit that you were able to put together, something that will forever stay with me, is my opportunity to meet Eleanor Sisulu. And I was wondering if you would tell the story of the Sisulu family, but more importantly, the important work that CAF Southern Africa does with family in providing service for family trusts in South Africa.
Indeed, Ted. In fact, CAFSA was equally honored to receive you in South Africa and to be able to facilitate a meeting with yourself and Eleanor Sisulu. It's forever etched in our memories as CAFSA as well. So we were very, very deeply moved and honored to be approached by the children and grandchildren of our son, South African family, Ted, to support them on the establishment of the Walter and Albertina Sisulu Centenary Fund. Ted, as you will know, Thabo Sisulu was a lifelong confidant and a friend of Nelson Mandela. He was part of the Rivonia treason trialists, along with Nelson Mandela, who were imprisoned on Robben Island as anti-apartheid activists and leaders of the then banned ANC. Mama Albertina Sisulu continued to care for her families and neighbors during her husband's very lengthy incarceration, and she was a respected nurse and a community worker in Soweto, where you visited with us, and she held an abiding passion and a deep empathy for human suffering as a nurse, Ted. So the Sisulu family wanted to establish this legacy foundation on the eve of what would have been Mama Albertina Sisulu's 100th birthday, in order to honor the contribution and the many sacrifices made by their parents, and to support the ongoing loss of the Sisulu family. So CAFSA was privileged to support the family in terms of setting up the fund, and then moving on to thinking about programmatic work with the family. And I was so honored when I was invited to attend the official launch of the Albertina Sisulu Bursary Fund for Nurses, Ted, which I think could not be more timely in our world at the moment. So a great honor all around.
And of course, this work that CAF Southern Africa does on behalf of the Sisulu family and the ability of CAF Southern Africa to host and maintain family trusts throughout South Africa builds upon a South African tradition of philanthropic culture around a concept of Ubuntu. Can you share with us that South African context?
Ted, I can. I think that you're absolutely spot on. I think Africa, in since time immemorial, has practiced the philosophy of Ubuntu, translated from Zulu, is a person is a person to other people. So this philosophy really stresses compassion and humanity and of being ourselves simply to others. So effectively, I am because you are. So it's about community, it's about helping and assisting and supporting. And I think this philosophy is really strongly demonstrated in the various pieces of research that the CAF Global Alliance and CAFSA and indeed CAF America have done in respect of the generosity patterns within Africa and Southern Africa. And it's abundantly clear from the research that the poorest of the poor still give You know, as a philosophy, our country and our continent is generous by nature, and people share what very little they have. And in fact, this really links to some anecdotal evidence we picked up from Robben Island, where Tata Sulu was imprisoned. And that she was known as being fundamentally generous. She had absolutely no sense of ownership, and that anybody, any fellow prisoners, needed a pen or some toothpaste, for example, Tata Sulu would always give his meager possessions to his friends. So I think that really speaks to the philosophy of generosity on the continent and in the country, Ted.
There's another proverb, another South African proverb that I've often shared and speaks particularly, I think, to Americans' understanding of South Africa. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Share a little bit of how you've been experiencing that of recent in terms of how people have come together in both wanting to make things go fast, but also the ability to make things really happen when more people come together.
Yes, actually encompasses where we are at the moment as we face this global COVID-19 pandemic. You know, it's been said we might all be in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. So I think in South Africa, we are seeing an outpouring of generosity, of assistance. I'm seeing it on our social media platforms, the generosity that is pouring out from South Africans, both individuals, you know, wealthy, all across all classes, from the corporate sector. There's just been, you know, the country has been united in dealing with this crisis and constantly being mindful, you know, of the needs of those least fortunate. And hence, you know, we set up our COVID-19 emergency fund to deal with the crisis. We are seeing corporates stepping forward to assist with personal protective equipment, food. Similar crisis in the country alongside COVID-19, and that is rising levels of starvation. And so the focus in respect of our philanthropy and our giving at the moment is to deal with the spiraling levels of starvation in the country, Ted.
That's heartbreaking to have what has really been an issue in South Africa become such a fault line during the COVID outbreak. Jill, CAF Southern Africa has been in the forefront of so many different topics facing South Africans. I wanted to shift the discussion, if we could, to one way that so many corporations are coming together in South Africa and have for so many years to really make a difference in their communities and to really help their communities. And CAF Southern Africa has played an important role in neighborhoods throughout South Africa through the Beyond Painting Classrooms program. And this has really been bringing together a lot of corporate support, and First Rand Bank has taken a leadership role in this. This really speaks to American corporations who feel that oftentimes they would like to make a difference in the communities that they are involved with. How can Beyond Painting Classrooms be an example for corporations that might want to become involved in South Africa?
Okay, this is a lovely question and a lovely project indeed. We are so thrilled to have partnered with First Rand, who, as you say, is one of South Africa's top four banks. And we have been privileged to work together with our colleagues at the First Rand Volunteers Program. And this employee volunteering initiative, previously known as Beyond Painting Classrooms, which I think really speaks of the real intention to just not be a volunteer, you know, for half a day or a day and then move away and not come back again for another year. This initiative is bringing together the charities and corporates in a really collaborative space in order to share the knowledge and best practice to enhance the power and the impact of volunteering, which you've spoken about. And which research has shown us, Ted, that this kind of employee volunteering not only benefits the charity, it also benefits the corporates and its employees too. So effectively, this collaboration really creates the perfect storm. And so historically, FirstRand, supported by CAPSA, hosts an employee volunteering or a BPC conference every second year in Johannesburg, where we offer quality local and international speakers who are experts in their field. There are plenary discussions, panel discussions, breakaway sessions, in order really to build a repository of knowledge and practice to support the employee volunteering ecosystem. So this is a premier gathering of practitioners. In December last year, we held our conference at the Wanderers in Johannesburg. We were thrilled to be we had some lovely themes, including making employee volunteering count, collaborating for change, and the future of employee volunteering. So it's really the corporates and the charities got around the table to share learnings and how we can really make volunteering powerful as a contributor and as a currency. And in fact, earlier this year, BPC has now been rebranded as Inspiring Employee Volunteering, which we think is a really powerful brand, and has continued with its important work. And our COVID-19 webinar, which was hosted very recently, invited speakers from the corporate world and the charity world to present on how they've had to repurpose their original volunteer strategy, Ted, and some very interesting trends that we've seen both in South Africa and at FirstRand during the COVID pandemic include, you know, a rise in humanitarian support. And I think we spoke about the donations of food and food parcels. The corporate setting up to personal protective equipment. Ted, virtual volunteering is obviously now on the rise. We're seeing increasing fundraising events for humanitarian support. And in fact, FirstRand have just launched their Active Citizenship campaign to reward random acts of kindness. So this really is indeed a great opportunity for corporates to really reach out and make a contribution into the nonprofit sector in South Africa.
Through this podcast, Americans are learning just what a strong partner CAF Southern Africa is in South Africa. And when we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, I want to follow up the volunteering aspect that CAF Southern Africa is able to facilitate and talk about the very powerful role that employee payroll giving can play and the funds that that generates and how much good that creates in South Africa. And we'll be right back.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at CAFAmerica.org, on iTunes, or just say, Alexa, play CAF America on TuneIn. Now, back to the Caring and Funding Podcast and our host, Ted Hart.
And we're back here with Jill Bates, the CEO of CAF Southern Africa. Before we stepped away there, Jill, I just wanted to ask you as we come back here to talk about what we would refer to as employee payroll giving in South Africa, that's referred to as a Give As You Earn program. This is another part of the rich offering of CAF Southern Africa. Help us understand how that works and more importantly, why it's so important.
Thank you, Ted. This is a lovely question, and we are really super proud of this program. Ted, effectively, it's a quick and efficient way for both employers and employees alike to help civil society in a really impactful and sustainable way. So, a system or supported by processes which allows employees to donate a portion of their monthly income to a charitable cause close to their heart. And in many instances, Ted, the beauty of this program is that the corporate will match the employee donation. So in effect, both contributions are then paid over to CAFSA, and we ensure that those funds are transferred to the nominated charity, which CAPSA also, by the way, would have vetted via our due diligence process, and thus providing comfort to the donor. Sid, as you mentioned, the value of this program lies, I would think, not only in its operational efficiencies and safety, but ultimately in terms of the value and the resources that are being unlocked for civil society, non-profit charities. So effectively, Ted, payroll giving funds are unrestricted funds, which are especially required by charities during the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, Ted, I'm happy to share with you that in the last 9 years, this program has raised in excess of 40 million rand, which has been distributed to some 300 South African charities. So this is really a great opportunity for corporates, including US companies in South Africa, to make a really valuable and impactful contribution to charities in Southern Africa, Ted.
These donations make such a big difference to so many different charities and really become the lifeblood of many different communities and many different charities. Jill, sometimes corporations, foundations who want to make a difference don't know which charities to work with. They don't know what kind of program they want to put together. Can you talk to us about some of the services that CAF Southern Africa can provide about creating programs from start to finish, helping a foundation or corporation think through what they would like to accomplish and how they might accomplish that? Give us an example of how CAF Southern Africa has maybe done that.
Ted, this is really an area that CAPSA has developed a deep expertise in, really just assisting our corporates to think very strategically about their payroll giving programs. So, you know, most recently we have worked with a client in the mining sector whose program had been a bit dormant because there were some changes in the particular company. And after the restructuring, the company approached us to help them think about their payroll giving programs, think about policy, strategy, and just how to communicate with their employees in terms of the value of this program and where their money could go. And as you correctly say, in some instances, employees and corporates don't know where they want their money to go, in which case we will, you know, advise them, looking at the company strategy and obviously linking it to a CSI strategy. And in other cases, the company do know where they want the focus to lie. So it's really, it's, as you say, it's an end-to-end service where we really start getting around the table and talking about policy and strategy and then just operationalizing the entire payroll giving program from start to finish. So it's a headache-free process, Ted. Corporates and employees know that their funds are safe and that they are going to where they need to go. So as you say, it's a comprehensive strategy and process with a lot of thinking time to make sure that the program that we design really is customized for our particular corporate, Ted.
That's terrific. And CAF Southern Africa also provides these services in a grants management setting as well, helping foundations, corporations from start to finish, putting a project together and then overseeing project implementation. Can you give us an example for our listeners, for our donors, on how CAF Southern Africa might help with that?
Absolutely. You've raised this question. In that last year, CAPSA was approached by the Cotton On Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of the Australian-born fashion retailer Cotton On Group. The foundation works directly with communities in need, and the focus is on delivering quality education projects in the countries where the group operates, and that would be Uganda, South Africa, Thailand, and Australia. So the thinking behind this philanthropic arm is, Ted, that Cotton On recognizes that in order to make a sustainable and lasting impact that really helps to reduce global poverty, we really need to identify all factors contributing to systemic policy. And the thinking of Cotton On is that every single child has the right to quality education, regardless of the country of their birth, the language that they speak, or, for example, the country that they live in. So the focus really is to build education systems with in South Africa for a number of years have been engaging with an impoverished community called eThekwini in KwaZulu-Natal kids, and really looking at how they could help in terms of supporting this community. And one particular school, the eThekwini Primary School, came to the attention of Cotton On. It was in desperate need of a rebuild, of refurbishing, and it was at that point that Cotton On approached CAFSA with some fund management support, just to support them during the build and the refurbishment, dealing with all the various service providers involved in refurbishing the school. So CAFSA received the donation from Cotton On, and we then made sure that all the building surveyors, the architects, the construction engineers, etc., were paid on time and in accordance, you know, with the project program. We ensured all the regulatory compliance and monthly reports on. And the total value of the renovation and ball, Ted, was 29 million rand. And I have to tell you that it was such a privilege for me to be invited in November last year to travel to KwaZulu-Natal to attend the opening of the eThekwini Primary School, or the relaunch of the new building. And it was incredible to see 16 refurbished classrooms, an additional 16 brand new classrooms built, an administration block was built, they were able to build two kitchens and two fully equipped playgrounds and ablution block. So this really is a wonderful example of a corporate doing great things in South Africa, Ted.
Well, Jill, it's those sights and sounds, and every time I speak with you, when I have an opportunity to visit with you, that, you know, there always is the sights and sounds of South Africa, and then just in this podcast, the opportunity to have the memories of Eleanor Sisulu, the Sisulu family, and the travels that we've had an opportunity to discuss Ubuntu. The service offerings of CAF Southern Africa. We only have a couple of minutes left, and we can't possibly have a discussion about philanthropic traditions and South Africa without talking about the legacy of Nelson Mandela. So can you finish up our podcast here by telling us about what Americans should know about the proper philanthropic legacy of Nelson Mandela?
Thank you so much, Ted, and what a beautiful way to conclude today's discussion. And this is an especially pertinent time for us in South Africa, Ted, as we observe Mandela Month, and we celebrate the birth of Nelson Mandela on the 18th of July. So as you will know, Mandela International Day was launched back in the year 2009 by unanimous decision at the UN General Assembly, and it's been in effect ever since. And the reason for Mandela Day to mark the 67 years that Madiba spent really making the world a better place. And so we are called upon to spend 1 minute for each year doing something good for those most in need in our communities. So much has been written and said about our icon, Nelson Mandela, and really just to wrap up, I think to conclude that everything that he was also fundamentally a philanthropist, Ted. And Nelson Mandela donated 1/3 of his presidential salary to the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund, but obviously his interests remained very broad and included a focus on HIV and AIDS, eradicating poverty and hunger. He had a great passion for children and supporting local artists. So Madiba, very passionate about freedom, democracy, social justice, and service to others. We're really privileged to observe Mandela Month in South Africa and internationally.
And Jill, it's a privilege to have you here on the Caring and Funding podcast. Thank you for being our guest.
You've been listening to the Caring and Funding Podcast, powered by CAP America. Tell all your friends and colleagues to check out our archives, sign up for our free newsletter, and download our iPad and iPod-friendly podcasts at capamerica.org. Thanks for listening to the Caring and Funding Podcast.